Hey y'all, y'all ready to have a meeting? My name is Brittany and I'm an alcoholic. Welcome to the Monday night Blue Chip speaker meeting at the Napa Club, where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more of sobriety tells his or her story. This is a reading based on a passage from page 29 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each individual in our personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on AABlueChipSpeakers.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker and believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too, I must have this thing. Tonight's speaker comes from the Fit Tradition Group. I've heard her share many times, and she's always hilarious, and I've been looking forward to hearing your story ever since I found out you were speaking. So help me welcome Red.
Thank you. I'm Red, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm blessed to be here tonight. Thank you, Neville. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. I got people from Mariposa, my home group, Fit Tradition. And my sobriety date is May the 29th, 2020. I have a home group. That's Fifth Tradition. I have a sponsor. She has a sponsor, and I sponsor. I'm going to tell you what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. I was born in East Atlanta. I'm a Grady baby. Grady Memorial. That's me. And I grew up on Moreland Avenue. And I remember the first time that I drank. I was 7 years old, and the reason I remember this is because I've heard this story many times. And I used to get up. My sister had a little mini bike that she parked right outside the front door, and every morning I would get up there, and I would stand outside on the seat, and I would wait for the milkman so I could have my cereal. Well, the milkman told my daddy one day that I got up out of his recliner because we had, you know, the glass screen door. I come to the door, looked at him, and turned around, went and got back in that recliner. So I had a hangover because they were drinking that night, and I was sipping here and there. And anyway, that's the first time that I recall that, you know, that story that I was drinking, I got drunk, and I had a hangover. But I grew up off Moreland Avenue, and I went to East Atlanta High. I went to John B. Gordon, and I also went to Grant Park Elementary. And when I got in high school around 16, we used to cut and we'd go down in the tunnels there at the creek and we smoked weed and drank beer and we, you know, that went on for a while, you know, and I didn't have a bad childhood. My daddy was an alcoholic and my mama, she just raised a lot of cane and they argued and fought and, you know, he drank. So I thought, you know, that was fun. I just thought that's what you did. You drank and had fun. So that went on for years and years, and I didn't get no trouble in that amount of time. I really didn't get trouble till I got in my 20s. And I was my first DUI was 22, I believe it was. And no, it wasn't. I was 23, and I was in Floyd County, and I remember leaving my daddy's house, and he said, Red, you going to be okay? I said, yeah, I got my britches on, don't I? He said, yeah. So I was going down Calhoun Road there in Rome, and I pulled into this grocery store that it closed at 11 o'clock, and I knew that, but I wanted some more beer. So I pulled in there anyway, and my friends would tell me, and my son's daddy's brother said, Red, they closed. I said, no, the lights are still on. So I pulled in there, and one of my headlights was out on the dim, so I had the brights on. So I pulled up there, and they was closed. So coming out, there's a red light right there, and they were the Floyd County Police right in front of me on the other side of the road. So I took that right, and he got in behind me, went to the next light, turned right, he flipped his lights on. And I remember my baby daddy brother said, what, she gonna blame it on the glasses. So I got out and he asked me, you know, why I had my high beams on. I told him, I said, I can't see. I didn't get my glasses on. And he told him, he said, see, I told you she was. But anyway, that was my first DUI and he took me to jail. I called my daddy next morning. He said he got that collect call, so he knew I was in Floyd County. 53 at the finest motel up there. Expensive too. And anyway, he said, Red, I said, sir. He said, you got your britches on? I said, I got Floyd County britches on. So anyway, that was my first DUI. And my second one was I was still in Floyd County and I got drunk that night. And I remember I was wanting to go to my mama's house because the person I was with, we was fighting and feuding, so I waited till he passed out, and I got the car out, and I left Rome, and I got up to Cartersville, and I stopped at the payphone, and I called my mama, and I told her, I said, I'm on my way. Well, during that time, from Cartersville all the way to Hakeville exit, I don't remember that drive, and it's like 57 more miles from there to Hakeville exit. And I remember I got off Hakeville exit and I got about maybe not even a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles from my mama's house. And I got pulled over. And I got 7 tickets that night because I didn't have my son properly seat belted and all that. And this should have been one of my spiritual awakenings because they called my mama and let her come and get my son. They could have took my son and I could have been in a world more trouble than what I was already. And anyway, that was my second DUI. And I didn't get no more DUIs after that. I lost my license, and they said it was just going to take so much to get them, so I didn't ever worry about getting them because I figured, well, I'm just going to drink, and I'm going to be with somebody that's got license, and I'd just ride with them. And I'd be all right to drink, you know, on the passenger side, not get no trouble. So that's what I did. And some of the things I did when I was drinking, I thought, now that I'm sober, I thought, man, I can't believe I did it, but I did it. We used to go to West Texas on weekends. We was in West Texas one night, me, my mama, one of my roommates and her mama, and one of our other friends, and this guy, they had dollar shots of tequila. But this is what I do when I get drunk. He come over there with a waitress tray full of dollar shot tequila, put them on the table. Shit. Bam, 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 we were drinking. And don't you know, I joined a wet T-shirt contest that night. I am serious. I don't see how they get in them wife beaters. I put it on dry. He said, I said, I woke up the next morning and I was thinking, I was laying there on the floor and I had a bad hangover. I was laying there on that floor and I'm thinking, man, did I dream I did a wet T-shirt contest? I looked across the room there, that wife beater was with a big number 3 on it. I said, yeah, I did. There's something else I did when I was drinking. I don't know how many people lose their son in the snow, but I lost mine. I remember it was Snow Jam 93. And my daddy had come and got us because, I mean, snow was up to my waist. And he had a van. So he come and he said, you and Cody and Mike won't go to the house because he had gas and we had all power, so we were shut down. But he had gas, so we were good at his place. So we got there, and I took the baby chair, put it on the dining room table, and my stepmama come out. She said, Red. I said, ma'am. She said, where's Cody? That's my son. I said, he's in there on the dining room table in that chair. She said, no, he ain't, neither. I said, yeah, he is. So I walked in there. He was not in that chair. So I just backtracked and bless his heart and ran outside the van in the snow. He had jet black hair, you could see him. And he worked with us a little bit out at the Waffle House on Killy Mill. And Miss Lisa was working with him one night, and he was working with us. She said, Cody, what's wrong with your brain? He said, my mama gave me a brain freeze. But anyway, that's the kind of stuff I do when I drink, get drunk, and it just takes me over. It's like the devil. It is the devil for me. They call it fire water, and that's what happens. But anyway, moving up a little bit, After that, I didn't drive no more because I was, you know, a passenger drinker. And me and my daddy, we moved back to Rome in 2010. And he was on dialysis for a little bit. And anyway, he was on dialysis for about 8 months, and he got off of it. And he was okay for a while. He moved to Franklin, Heard County, down there on the other side of Carrollton. And he got back. He had a kidney artery bypass, so, you know, he was back on dialysis. And he was on it for 10 years before he passed. And anyway, we moved back to Rome, you know, and I was drinking, working at the Waffle House down there, and I'd be at work drinking and, you know, just getting around doing anything that, you know, I could do. But I was working, so I thought I wasn't an alcoholic. And my mom and then when we was growing up, she always called my daddy a drunk, so I didn't know nothing about alcohol, so, but it's the same thing. But anyway, me and daddy moved back to Rome in 2009. Oh, something else that happened. In 2009, November the 9th, me and my best friend was up in Coweta County off Highway 34. And we was in a little Mitsubishi Eclipse. And she went off the road to the right a little bit. Or this is what I'm thinking happened because I went in a blackout. I thought I remember seeing dust come up in front of the car lights. It was about 1:30 in the morning. And we went down a big embankment. And when we got to the bottom, we flipped. And it killed her instantly. We had been drinking, taking pills, and it killed her instantly. And I was seatbelted in. The seatbelt I couldn't do nothing. I just remember hollering. And when I remember something, it was I heard somebody say one DOA, and I felt Tammy felt like she took her last breath, like she was waiting for it. That should have been another awakening for me, but it wasn't. I still drank, you know. But anyway, it killed my best friend in 2009, and that's why me and my daddy moved back to Rome in the end of 2009, because he wanted to get me out of Heard County because it's so little and that happened. But anyway, we lived there, and he got real sick where he had to have somebody all the time with him, and he couldn't drive no more or nothing to dialysis and stuff. So my older sister, she lives in Roanoke, Alabama. So she come and got my daddy, and this was in 2019. And she called me. It was in October, maybe the 1st of October in 2019, and she said, "Daddy's got 3 months to live." And she said, "He wants us to be together on Thanksgiving and Christmas." So I said, "Okay." So I moved to Roanoke, Alabama, and they gave me a half acre of their land out on my property, and my niece gave me a nice camper. I mean, it was nice. Me and my grandbabies, you know, they loved it. So she told me, she said, "You ain't never got to worry about nobody throwing you out or going anywhere." She said, "That's your place." She said, "That's your home." And so anyway, we went through Thanksgiving, we went through Christmas, and the New Year's coming. My birthday's January 31st, and in 2020, January 28th, my pops passed. So that's 3 days from my birthday. So I just really went out on, I just kind of lost it because that was my pops. He had three girls, and I'm not going to say his pick, but I was redheaded, you know, and when he left my mama, I always left with him. When he divorced my mama, I divorced my mama too, because I want to be with my dad. And so I remember I'd be crying about something or something, and all my dad ever had to tell me was, "Red, everything's going to be okay." And that was enough for me for him to tell me that, and it would be. But anyway, he passed January 28th, and I just drank, and in May, anyway, my camper and my grandbabies, they'd come and spend time with me, and we'd do like little gardens out, you know, and we didn't have no line from the well house to the main trailer, so So we go to the creek, and we had big plastic drums we catch water in, you know. Then we had the metal drums that, you know, we would burn and take them big old two-number tub, you know, and heat water. And I had little totes that I'd, for each one of them, you know, put them little bomb bass in there, and they loved it down there. And at night, you'd hear them, they said, Grand-Grand, what's that? They called me Grand-Grand. I said, Grand-Grand, what's that? I said, that's a whippoorwill. And you could hear them, they go, whippoorwill, whippoorwill. I still talk to them, and their mama's telling me, yeah, Red, they'd be going, whippoorwill, whippoorwill. But we loved it down there, and we'd play in a little garden, and, you know, sun come up, they get out there, and because they live in the city in Rome, so they couldn't get out there and play in the dirt and all that. Because when I moved down here, I said, when them babies come, they're going to say, my grand-grand don't live here. But anyway, my pops, he passed. And it was like May, I'm going to say, this is what happened, and I hit my rock bottom when this happened right here. It was like May, I'm going to say around the 18th, 19th, I can't quite remember. Might have been May the 20th, I don't know. But anyway, my son had been down for a couple of days, and he got a speaker in the back of his car about the side of this podium right here. And my sister and them house was about from here, maybe across the street, you know, down the trail. And he was, you know, we was partying and stuff, and it's about maybe 2 a.m. She come beating on my camera door with a stick, telling me he needs to go, yada, 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 this and that and another. And I was thinking to myself, well, you told me that, you know, I never had to leave, you know, and my son could always come up here. So me and her had a few words. She went back down to her place, and, you know, the Meester buckets about this big, about that big around. I got 2 of them, and I put beer. We had all kinds of different beer, Corona, anything. So I put some in them, and I went out my camper door and lit my curtain on fire. And I sat at the edge of the woods, and I watched it burn. And I watched the fire department come out and put it out. And I remember I told the fire marshal, he asked me why I did it. And I told him why I did it. In Alabama, you know, that's your property. If you burn it, oh well. You know, as long as it took them to get out there, you know, I could have burned a whole trailer park down. But, anyway, after they left, I sat down and I drank me a few more beers. And I remember, you know, Alabama has, you know, number instead of street, you know, letters, signs like readings, like, you know, ML King, stuff like that. We had Highway 151 and stuff like that. But I remember I walked down that driveway and I said, if I wasn't going to live there, nobody else is going to live there. So I just I just burnt my home down. And I'm not proud of it. But I'm going to tell you what, if I hadn't have did that, I wouldn't be here right now. And I'd probably be dead or hurt somebody else. But I walked down that long driveway. And I remember I had about 4 or 5 dogs. I had a little wire hair terrier, short hair terrier, and then I had a bigger dog. And they followed me. I walked down that driveway, and I got to the end of it, and I took that left, and I walked that long. I don't know how I made it. I know I fell in ditches, tripped over rocks, and I mean, I was all bruised up. But I made it to that Alabama-Georgia line. And I remember falling out. And I remember this lady pulling up. I said, man, will you give me a ride? And that's all I remember of that. I woke up that next morning in Wheat Valley Hospital. And I seen a light because I did wake up, and it was the one over my hospital bed because I could have fell back in that camper and, you know, burned up. And or I could have, you know, fell in the ditch and nobody would know where I was at down there off the road. But anyway, I called my son, and I told him that I wanted to go to Floyd County. I called him Nut House. So I went down there, and I stayed for about maybe 5, maybe 7 days. And when they got ready to discharge me, they said, you want to go back to Roanoke? I said, I can't go back there. I said, I die. I said, I need help. So they called SLA, and they said, yeah, we got an opening in College Park. And I said, well, I don't want to go to College Park because after we left Moreland Avenue, we moved to Jonesboro right there in Forest Park. I said, that's too close to Forest Park. So they said, we got one in Dunwoody. And I said, okay, I'll go Dunwoody. So that's what I did. And I got there on May 29th. That's when I was sober really before May 29th because I was in the nut house. But I counted it from the time I got to SLA. And I remember when I got there, we went up to the apartment I was going to be in, and they was doing some kind of intake. And she was telling me this and telling me that, what I had to do this, what I had to do that. And my house senior was in there. She'll be out in a minute. And she left. And I was the only one in the apartment. And I was walking around. I was seeing all these signs that's talking about steps and this and that and other. And I'm thinking, is this lady ever going to get up, you know? And I'm feeling sad and alone. And I just, you know, I'm feeling kind of depressed. I don't know what to do because I ain't never did nothing like this. This is my first time doing this. And anyway, I went out on the balcony. There's a liquor store over there. I'm thinking, damn, you can see it from the... Sorry about that, Tim. You can see it. You can see it from the balcony. I said, I just need to go over there and get drunk. But I didn't. I went and got in the shower, took me a hot shower, and I cried about it, and I prayed about it. Because I did when we were growing up. We went to church and all that, and I just thought you had to believe in God and all that just to get to heaven. But anyway, They was telling me I needed a sponsor and I was going to have to get me a phone because, you know, you have to have their numbers and all that. So, next morning I woke up and I had $45 to my name. So the van driver took me and got me a little flip phone. Paid $20 for the phone, got me a $20 card. And in the kitchen of the apartment, there's a sheet there. Well, she said, you can pick out one of these ladies, you know, to be your sponsor. So there's a KDO and a KDH. So I picked that KDH. And she's been my sponsor coming up on 2 years. But anyway, I called her. And we talked a few minutes. She's like, I need you to call me every day for, I don't know if it was a week or 2 weeks, but whatever it was. I said, man, I don't call my mama every day. So, I did. And when we did our face-to-face and we met, you know, she was telling me that, you know, I need to update my phone because it was just a little flip phone. I didn't know how to work, so I had to get one of them flat screen phones. And I really didn't know how to work all that, you know. And then we did our face-to-face, and we were doing our face-to-face. Then she said, well, I started going to Fifth Edition, you know, and that's why I become my own group, because Katie, and I love it there. And then she's like, well, you need to start calling 3 or 4 other women a day. I thought, what? I don't really want to do that. But it works. It really does. So anyway, I did. And me and her started meeting. And we met once a week. And we started going through the big book. And we started going through it. And at first, I didn't make no sense to me. And I told her, I said, I'm not comprehending, you know. When I read, I don't really comprehend what I read. I forget it like that. And so she did most of the reading in it. Well, she did all of it. But anyway, as she read, I was really listening. I could get into it. And when she asked me if I had any questions, I was able to ask her questions because I could comprehend what was coming out her mouth and into my ears. Anyway, we did that, and during that time and working them steps, what I'm like now, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, and if you're a newcomer, it really does work. But you got to put, because see, and she asked me, I remember I forgot to tell y'all this. She said, is willing to go through any length. And I just said, yeah, because I figured that's what you're supposed to say, yeah. So that's what I said. But then after a while, I got to thinking, you know, well, I went through any lengths to, you know, get alcohol and to drink, to smoke, or whatever it may be, because my thing is alcohol. So if you put a bunch of stuff in front of me and you put alcohol in front of me, I'm going to pick that alcohol. But when I get to the point, I might be doing that other stuff too, because I tried. But anyway, I said, yeah, I'm willing. I know what that means now. You got to have that willingness, and you got to be honest with yourself. And anyway, I'm going, and I'm going to continue to go. But we worked them steps, and it just become I mean, it's like my family now. It's like when we had our 13th year anniversary here a couple weeks ago. That was a family reunion that I left and I remember. There wasn't no fighting at it. Nobody got drunk. Nobody cussed nobody out. Everybody left happy. But anyway, now I'm at Mariposa, and I'm 52 years old, and I think this that my place is to be. It's to be here because my son's grown and my pops is gone and my mama, you know, she's somewhere and she's safe and I don't get to talk to her like I want to and all, but, you know, I just pray about it. And my life now is, it's like I said, it's wonderful. I get up in the morning and I meditate. And I don't always, while I'm laying in bed, meditate and pray because I might get up, fix a cup of coffee. But when I'm out on that porch, you know, I say, thank you, Lord, for this glorious day. Thank you for these birds. You know, thank you for the rain, whatever it may be. And I pray for the people around me. And I sponsor now. And that's a good feeling, too, because there's nobody better than another alcoholic or addict to keep me sober. And I pray about things. And you know what? I had a heart attack June the 6th. Of last year. I worked at Waffle House. And I started thinking, man, I'm going to be in the hospital. I ain't going to be able to work. What's going to happen? But then I got to thinking, you know, it's in God's hands. I turn it over to Him because I can't control it. So, but through my home group and the people around me, I made it through it. And I did Zoom meetings and everything while I was in the hospital. They checked on me. And you know what? Life still went, it still happens. But you know what? We can do something about it. Just pray about it, leave it in His hands, and make them calls, get you, pull somebody forward with you. And, you know, when you make them calls, it ain't got to be about alcohol or nothing. Just be about, like, hey, how's your day going? What'd you eat for lunch? You ain't got to bring nothing unless you want to. And then if you do, bring it up. Because me and some of my friends, we talk about it now, like, you know what it'd be like if we was to drink now? Like, yep, I ain't going back there. Sorry. Because I done been there and done that, and I don't want to go through it again. Because through my sobriety, I have been able, oh, I got my license back after 23 years. Let me tell you about my license now. I had to take that little written test. And I told the lady, because, you know, I told you I got that flat screen TV. Now, well, I'm not computer illiterate, you know what I'm saying? So I had to go get the lady when I took the written thing. I was like, I don't even know how to get started on this computer. One guy, when I asked him, he's like, you know how to use a computer? No, I don't. I really don't. So she come and helped me. And anyway, I passed that. And that was on the 7th of January. So January 27th is when I was going to take my driving test. So Casey's got a Lexus. My car don't have a berth, so I couldn't do it. But that little car's been kicking 4 years without the berth. As long as you pull through on the hill, I ain't got stuck nowhere yet. And I got that through my sobriety, too. But anyway, nowadays, they mount a camera on the inside of the window of the vehicle. And whoever your licensed driver is, got your phone. So you can hear an instructor talk to them. So, Katie was my licensed driver, and I took it in her Lexus. You know, it's got them power brakes. You better cut them and face through the window. And, anyway, they did a few things out in the back parking lot, like, you know, parallel park, back up against the cone, and then we pulled out on the highway. All right, with the instructor calls. Katie's holding the phone. And when I pull out, take that right, and I was going a little fast, you know, but I was coming up faster than I guess she expected me to. But I hit them brakes, and she said, you're scaring the ass out of me. I said, she can hear you. She's on the phone. Well, anyway, I got my license that day. And I went to pick the car up, and I did that through sobriety, because it's been 23 years, because I done told y'all, I done decided I'm just going to be a passenger, just enjoy this alcohol and ride out. But my mom and daddy always told me that your license was a privilege, and it's true, it is. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle that I'm here because I've had so many spiritual awakenings and things in my face that should have taught me, but I didn't. I didn't go with them. Because like I said, I could have died in that camper. I could have died in one of them DUIs I had, especially going 57 miles in a blackout and don't know how I got there, but I do because it was God. But what I'm like now is I'm happy. I'm peaceful, and I'm here. I'm here, and I'm just blessed every day. I don't have too many bad days, and this wasn't one of them. And if you're a newcomer, if you got questions or you got something on your mind and you're scared to ask or talk about it, talk about it. Get with somebody. We're here for you. And I really do want to thank Nava. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate y'all. Asking me to speak, and thank my people from Mariposa. Thank everybody, newcomers, Fifth Condition. I love y'all. God bless y'all. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
That was awesome, Red. Thanks for sharing some of your life with us. I asked Thomas to hand out the chips.
Hey, everybody, my name's Thomas. I'm an alcoholic. That was so awesome, right? Thank you so much. That was so awesome. Here at the Blue Chip Speaker Meeting, we've got a chip system. Anybody coming back? I got a white chip. If you're coming back, you went out. First time coming back, coming in. Okay. What about 30 days? Okay. 30 days? About 60 days. Days. 90 days. Anybody else 90 days? 6 months. About years of multiples. Mark.
My name is Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Mark.
19 years. Thanks for the story. I enjoyed that. I started off at SLA with Peaceful Health back then. I didn't get it the first time, but got a great sponsor. I know Katie. I've been around. I never stop and give up on yourself. Don't give up on yourself. You know, it's one day at a time. Get you a good sponsor and wear it to death because it's worth it. You worked it. Thank y'all for my support.
Anybody else? I'm going to offer the white chip one more time. Because in order to get the rest, you got to get this one. Anybody else sneaking around back there? Thank God and your sponsor for the chips.
Thank you one and all for joining the Blue Chip Speaker Meeting tonight.
Way. Thank you.